The worst case of being the happy firefighter is that, well, there can be an arsonist firefighter who basically sets the fires to put them out because they don't feel they have enough things to do, or they're adding value, so they create that problem, usually unconsciously, as you said. They don't realize that they're actually swooping in, causing a problem, and then coming running to the rescue.
The Ripple Leader Podcast. A resource for leaders who want to cultivate clear and confident leadership skills that ripple out to leaders around them and throughout the organizations they lead. Each episode, we gain actionable insight from Chris Hutchinson, veteran organizational advisor, CEO of the Trebuchet Group, and author of Ripple, Field Manual for Leadership That Works. Another conversation regarding thriving at work. Thriving in our sweet spots. This is an area where we encounter lots of leaders who are not thriving. And there's a language that we use to describe this phenomenon. I don't suspect that the leaders themselves understand this. Most often they don't. It's something they have to come to awareness around.
Yep.
But it's the idea of being the constant firefighter. Mm-hmm. What does this mean?
Well, usually it indicates, there's a couple different things that happen there, but it's usually you're fueled by urgency. And I know it's a great decider for me. I can use urgency if I procrastinate a bit. Urgency will have me drop perfectionism, right? Because if I wanted to be perfect, but I don't have the time, well, I just get good enough. And usually it's pretty darn good. But of course, it causes a lot of stress for me. The worst case of being the happy firefighter is that, there can be an arsonist firefighter who basically sets the fires to put them out because they don't feel they have enough things to do, or they're adding value, so they create that problem, usually unconsciously, as you said. They don't realize that they're actually swooping in, causing a problem, and then coming riding to the rescue, which gives them lots of validation and feels really good. So it actually could, look, I'm thriving, I'm helping people, when actually that could be taking the organization down.
Mm-hmm. And it really, I mean, it doesn't have anything to do about even the urgency. I mean, it's really about the leader. And like what they need or feel like they need.
Yeah, there's two different things in there. And I think that this is the key. So let me see if I can pull them apart. The first thing is, and Stephen Covey was really great at this a number of years ago, pulled together a lot of wisdom literature and came up with the 7 habits of highly effective people. Of those, number 2 is begin with the end in mind. So I say work backward from the end. You know, start where you want to finish and then come backwards. And it's going to be a lot clearer, cleaner path. And more likely to get you there than if you do otherwise. So it's understanding what's really important, why it's important, what you're doing, so that you can then not get caught in urgency. So there's a little grid that's a 2x2 grid. It's called the Eisenhower grid, Covey grid. And essentially it has importance versus urgency. So something that's urgent and important, this is vital, important meaning vital to the success of the enterprise or you, really needs to be taken care of. And it's urgent, needs to be taken care of now. Those sometimes are listed, that's a fire. You know, that's a client that just called and said they're leaving, or a customer that says, hey, I don't know if we want to work with you anymore, or some huge opportunity, but it's really urgent. So those are easy, quadrant one. What most people do then is go to the next thing is they work in quadrant 3, which is urgent but not important. It feels urgent, like that email needs to be answered. I got all the, 1,000 in the inbox. And yet when you really look at those, asking yourself a question, hey, is this going to matter in 3 hours, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years? If it's something that's really going to matter, that's important. But many don't. It's, it's nice, it's helpful, but you probably could skip it and it's probably okay. The place to really focus is a place where it's important and not urgent. That means a relationship. It's not urgent for me to spend time with my son. It's not urgent for me to spend time with my daughter. It's not urgent for me to eat correctly at this meal. What the heck? I'll have whatever I want. Those are very hard to recover from because when they become urgent, it's really bad. It's the relationships in tatters. You can't just fix it. Your health's not in the place it needs to be for you to be successful. Or sometimes even go forward. And so it's very hard to recover from things that were important that were neglected. Yet that's what we do. We say, I do it too. Stay in urgency. And then there's this place that says, it's not urgent, not important. That's the, doom scrolling or internet or, whatever you do that is not really going to give you any value at all, except escaping from the urgency overload. So that's one piece, I think, that's really important. There's thinking about how am I as a leader showing up around what's most important? Oh, by the way, do I know what that is? And then acting on that first, and then urgency second.
Yeah, and in that challenge, you know, especially if you're a leader or founder, of which there are many who are neurodivergent, you know, ADD on the spectrum, that the urgency is like a signal of attention, and that can be really hard to not.
Oh yeah, we are wired. I mean, the reason we survive, and you know, people are like, why do things distract me so much? Usually, it's because if you're distracted, that means you won't, you know, whoop, there's a bear over there. You know, we should go the other way, right? Versus just stumbling along and then eating by a bear. So we are wired to, as survival instinct, notice everything that could be a danger, not everything all the time. And so looking at those things and having those ping you can also, well, if that's a danger, that's fear, I better act on it, let's go now. And that's that firefighting mode that people get into. I'm going to add value, I'm going to take care of this. So if you know what's really important, you can figure that out. The other part is this part where people get kind of, it's that self value. So what value am I bringing? We talk to CEOs, chair people of boards, and they're like, I don't do anything anymore. I don't add any value because I'm not doing anymore. It's more of a being. It's more of asking questions in a meeting rather than having the answers. And that's very uncomfortable because I'm not making things happen. And yet that's the most vital thing, especially when you are in the higher levels of leadership. You should be enabling other people to make things happen and making sure we have high-level guidance and we're looking out on the horizon and what's happening, not this like thing that's happening right in front of us, because that's something they can do. It's what's coming in the future and how do we then bring it in and talk about it so that we're ready before it shows up.
So that makes me think that if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, well, let's self-diagnose. So if you feel like there's just never enough day to handle the things that would really move the organization forward, you're likely encountering this constant firefighting to some degree, whether it's the shiny pennies, you know, that are at me, or there's this need, you know, this need for validation, or some blend of both.
Yeah, sure.
Which is, it's kind of a yucky place because it just feels like there's just pressure all the time.
Yeah.
And yet you're also right at the cliff of like breaking past this.
Totally.
So by, you know, putting in place some awareness and some principles from Ripple, you can actually, you're right at the spot, like this spot where it feels like so tense and like I'm never going to get released from this. You're right there.
Yeah.
So help this leader break through.
Yeah. Well, part of it is flashing your high beams.
Okay.
Is if you're driving 100 miles an hour with your low beams on, which a lot of leaders are doing, and I do it all the time, I'm going to miss something, like the bridge out sign ahead. And so looking a little farther out. So that's taking time. We're going to be taking a 4-month sabbatical in some ways to do that. Look farther out down the road. What is it that ultimately we're getting to, rather than how fast are we going? How many more miles per gallon can we squeeze out of this baby? You know, come on, pedal faster, people. That's not really the point. The point is where we're trying to get it to and how people are feeling when we get there and what are we doing. And that's a different perspective. And it's more of the stepping into the space of how do I enable the best within everybody, including me, rather than what can I do to push us forward.
So at this point when you, if I translate that, at this point when you feel like you have no time to think about the future things,
that's exactly when
what you need to do.
Yeah, you stop and take time to go, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And that can also help prioritize the, like, I should, in fact, I think one of the best things to do, and I've seen it a lot recently, a stop doing list. You know, what are the things you need to let go of? And the hard part is those might be incredibly validating and you're probably the best in the business at it. But if you don't let go of it, you can't pick up the other stuff that's more important and try that. And it's going to be hard and it's uncomfortable and a lot of things hinge on it. So people tend to, you know, go back to, well, I can do the oil changes faster than anybody. Let me just show you how to do an oil change, instead of saying, I'm going to help us think about the future and how we all have a part to play. And that's my role.
Mm. So stop doing lists. Actually,
look at the future.
Look at the future.
What's important?
Any other principles that you think of that would be helping a leader?
I think it is recharging your own batteries, because especially if they're in space when you're just complete tired exhaustedness, you're not your best. And so trying to figure out what's going to recharge your batteries. And paradoxically, right, when you slow down and take time to recharge your batteries, you'll also have time to think, and you can think like not how to fix all the problems in the business, but Where are we going? Mm-hmm. Where am I going? Where am I taking people? And what do we want to do together? And then what's my role in that?
Yeah, and that also makes me think of, you know, principles around, you know, helping others learn how to fish and to risk and be resilient.
Yep.
Is that, you know, there is in this self-validation, mm-hmm. of being the firefighter, is that if I don't do this, really what you're saying is, mm-hmm. I don't trust the team to do it the way that I would do it,
yeah.
at the level and quality that would help us. You're not explicitly saying that, but that's being inferred. Mm-hmm. So how do you...
Well, when you really peel it away, I think it's, I don't trust myself to do that other work. Mm. I can trust myself to do the thing I'm good at. It's hard to trust myself around strategy and long-term vision and how can I just ask the right questions, you know, and do that well enough so that the best comes out of the people.
Gosh, is it like that? That is such a pregnant period of leadership,
mm-hmm.
of when you're feeling like the constant firefighter, because there's so many things you can go after at that point.
Yeah, yeah. It feels great because, man, we're getting stuff done. And I mean, that's the hard part, is that's the point when really – you should say, now, how long can I do this?
Yeah.
And what does this do for other people? What does this do for us?
It, you know, we don't typically talk about like numbers or you know, mm-hmm. what companies make in terms of revenue and stuff like that. But in my M&A experience, we've seen like the company that's like, oh man, we just struggled to get from like 1 million a year to 5. But then like the 5 to 20 or the 20 to 50,
mm-hmm.
like those are so much easier. Because,
well, it's more than likely that the leader's capacity to let go.
Yeah. You
and
know,
to grow.
You know that you could be, you know, 1.5, 2 million. You've got like 10 people on the team, you know, the service business, stuff like that.
Yep.
And there's enough system and structure to support stuff beyond you. And yet you are so much of an influence on where that organization's going. And if you can't learn how to stop being the firefighter, mm-hmm. you've essentially capped what that business is possible. Like you become the restrictor plate on that business.
Yeah.
But by wading into this period,
it's pretty freaking uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable. We're here for you. You got this.
And I often say the last thing I'll say is that, you know, we say organizations go as far as their leaders can grow and let go.
Yeah.
Just up to us. No pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. The other one I think about is that organizations get the results they're designed to get.
Yeah, well, that too.
You know, so
let's go get better results.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for talking to us about being the constant firefighter and how to not be the constant firefighter. So understanding the dynamics of what's driving that, have a stop doing list, understanding urgent and important, all kinds of great ways to help someone kind of break through to that next level. Thanks.
Awesome. You're welcome.
To help you help your team members figure out where they want to go and how their individual strengths can be utilized to do great things for the team and themselves, grab a copy of Chris's book, Ripple, a field manual for leadership that works. You can find the links to get Ripple as well as a free resource to help you equip those you lead in the show notes of this episode on rippleleader.com. If you found this content helpful, it would mean so much to us if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to do these three things. Follow the podcast on the platform of your choice, leave a review, and then share a favorite episode with a colleague or a friend. These three things help us create the ripples that we desire to see as well. The Ripple Leader Podcast is a production of the Trebuchet Group. The Trebuchet Group wants a world where everyone is thriving individually and collectively at work. You can find more about the Trebuchet Group at trebuchetgroup.com. I'm co-host Josh Schuler. Thanks for listening.